And today we're joined by two experts, two very different experts in innovation. First is David Livermore. It's a truism that diversity helps innovation. We've all heard that, but we've all seen the opposite, that people with different perspectives and goals sometimes can't agree, leading to a breakdown in the process and a failure of the product. David is author of Driven by Difference, How Great Companies Fuel Innovation Through Diversity. Before you began the book and your research, what was your understanding about the link between diversity and innovation?
I think probably like a lot of individuals, I had this intuitive link of, well, of course, if you have a repository of more diverse perspectives, it's going to lead to more innovative ideas. And, you know, like you do a lot, finding myself speaking at many conferences, I would often hear other presenters from the diversity world say this. Oh, we all know that diversity leads to better results. But then behind the scenes, I was looking at some of our own research or talking to leaders that are entrepreneurs or inside a company going, not exactly. Like, sometimes we actually find that the more global, multicultural team that's involved, the slower it is to actually get to innovation. So it kind of came about for me both from studying our own research as well as just listening to practitioners who are out there trying to drive innovation.
What kinds of things should we stay away from things that are recommended but you've found can backfire?
Yeah, well, and maybe it's to the same point we're talking about. It's a fine line between how do you understand the needs of the typical demographic, but then not start speaking it. And I suppose it's not unlike going into a room full of millennials and saying, oh, all you millennials are X. And even if it's 90% true, you know, nobody in the room wants to be told we're all the same. So it's how do you keep it in view, what is likely to be wanted by a Chinese customer, et cetera, but on the other hand, not market it in your face. So, for example, Starbucks, who actually have done a great job in learning from this, but when they first moved into the Chinese market, their thought toward how they would innovate there was to open up coffee shops that looked very much like a Chinese tea house, sold predominantly teas with just a few coffee offerings, and the Chinese were incensed. They're like, I wanted the venti latte that I got when I visited London. I can get any number of teas available to me here in China without going to your knockoff tea house. So it's that fine line of how do I understand the perspective of what the dominant norm is there, but then not lose the value of, you know, we coming in as a U.S. company actually have a diverse offering that can be done there. So now they kind of find a happy medium between there are some nuances that they change in the menu and the offering and, you know, Chinese New Year kinds of drinks that you would find there right now, but, you know, still offer some of the distinctive Starbucks experience.
What went wrong when they used their process to come up with tea houses rather than what Chinese people really wanted from Starbucks?
I think it comes back to your initial question of where is diversity both most challenging and offers the most opportunity, and that's right in the empathy, understanding the idea, the customer, the perspective taking, so that the first part of our process, much like most innovation processes, is define the goal specifically. So the goal was we want to have market share in China, but there were some assumptions made about what the Chinese market wanted that weren't informed by good empathizing with what is it that the customer really wants. Perhaps another specific example of a company that was trying to ideate and innovate in a space much different than these products, but in their leadership development program. So they had identified that one of their key leadership competencies that they wanted to develop in all their senior leaders was act like an owner. This was a Fortune 50 company based in the U.S. And, you know, I immediately, having some entrepreneurial interest myself, identified with, I get why they want their leaders to act like an owner. But so what they did well is they said, hey, we're developing this leadership program around trying to get people to act like owners. But at the break, in the first meeting where they were discussing this, a few of the individuals from Asia came up to me and said, okay, how do you help our other peers understand that in our context, an owner is often perceived as somebody who's out playing golf all day, getting drunk, and randomly calling in orders to the office. So I don't necessarily want to tell all my leaders that they ought to try and act like that. And so it's the they thought they had defined it really well. So the classic kind of first step in how you're going to develop an innovation process, define what the goal is. But because there wasn't enough use of the diversity in the room that was already there, they were beginning to go off in different directions in terms of what it was that actually meant.